This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hey, great to be with you.
And you know, this is the time. If you're not Christmas shopping at this time of the year, it's either because you're really, really smart and you've done it all already,
yeah.
Or you're like some of us that maybe haven't started it yet. But it is the time to be doing that. And if you're going to be doing any of that online and using Amazon.com, we'd ask you to do one simple thing first. You can do it at our website. You can go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and click on the smile.amazon logo. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't want to go to our website, just go any search engine you want and go to smile.amazon. When you go there, they're going to ask you to pick a charity and pick Catholic Radio Indy. All three words, Catholic Radio Indy. That's it. You do that one time. And anytime you buy anything on Amazon forever, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage. And I'll tell you what, if we all do it, especially this time of the year, it really adds up. So smile.amazon, or you can go to our website, catholicradioindy.org, and click on the smile.amazon logo, and you'll get the same place.
Right. And I always say this, we have a great show lined up for you today, but it's really true. Every time it's true.
Well, we don't get world travelers very often.
No, we don't get world travelers very often, but we are going to be talking with a native Hoosier here from Indianapolis who is a world traveler. And the topic that is slated for today is conquering fear and living your dreams. And we're talking about that because this guest actually did that. Our guest today is blogger, author, and world traveler Matt Javitt. Welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you for having me.
And a cradle Catholic too.
Yes, that is true.
So, okay, why don't you give our listeners tell us a little bit about yourself and how, just give us your background and then what you did.
Okay.
I guess.
I've lived.
We have 27 minutes.
No, I appreciate it. I've lived a life of many chapters. I grew up in a military family. My father was in the Navy, which meant that we moved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I went to many schools, went to three high schools, but fourth through sixth grade, I was actually here in Indianapolis on the south side. And
at St. Jude, is that right?
Excellent, yeah, St.
Okay.
Jude, yep. And then after I graduated high school in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I played college basketball. But during that time, my father retired from the Navy, and they went back to their favorite city during our journeys, which was Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So that moved our family to Indy. I've got an older brother, and he ended up coming back here as well. So after I got done playing college hoops, I coached a couple of years, got my MBA in Texas. I came back to Indianapolis as well. So I've been here for about 20 years now. Met my wife here. And she's an IU grad, Chicago girl,
mm-hmm.
IU grad, and then she got her doctorate at Butler for pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been married for 14 years, have lived in Broad Ripple, and tried a bunch of churches in the area, settled on IHM.
Mm-hmm. Near Immaculate
us.
Heart,
yes.
Right?
Father Bob is amazing. And really just love that community there. Mm-hmm. But during that process, my most recent career, it was 9 years with a large multinational technology company. And through that growth within that company, I had some success after I got through some rough patches. And through that success, because it was a company based out of France,
mm-hmm.
the prize,
the top sellers, right?
Yeah, the annual prizes, they would take about 40 of their top sales executives from around the world and with our spouses or partners and take us to amazing places. So we went to Istanbul, Turkey, Chiang Mai, Thailand, Goa, India, Miami, Florida, and the last one was in Cape Town, South Africa.
Wow.
And during that journey, that was my first true exposure to international travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely fell in love, especially Istanbul was my first location to be in a place that was extremely foreign to me. And just everything about it just spoke to my soul. I'm very much a person that loves to be around other people, understand different cultures, and it just spoke to me. So we started mixing other trips as well,
mm-hmm.
Brazil, Panama, the country, Greece, Croatia.
So then after the business travel, you started planning some other trips.
Absolutely.
Just, let's do this a little more, right?
Yeah.
So when you had your vacation time, you would go somewhere.
Yeah. So we would save our vacation days so we could go on a 2-week trip to Argentina and Brazil and things like that. So that really spoke to our soul. And then every time we were flying home, I was looking at the magazine in the back of, you know, the little magazine in the back of the airplane.
Oh, yeah.
And just dreaming of all these different locations around the world. And I just, and there was kind of that, we were there for 10 days. And I was like, I just wish we could have been there for a little bit longer so we could have met more people and understood a little better. So it was just that longing to do it for an extended period of time. And we decided at that point, I'm a big goal setter. And I think that we're blessed to live in a country where we can, if you can live out your goals and dreams, it's actually possible. So we started setting those goals down to travel full time and potentially take a career gap. And at the time, it was very much a dream. But we got closer and closer to making it a reality. And as we got closer, my wife and I started having those conversations of, are we going to do this? Can we do this?
So right? How, okay, we're talking with Matt Javitt, world traveler, blogger, passport, joy, author, you name it. How long did you have to plan? And then how long was your trip? Because you actually did leave your jobs and travel for quite a chunk of time.
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
So the journey itself was 27 straight months. We never came home.
What's that? That's like more than 2 years, yeah. Like 2 years and 3 months or something like that.
And what's crazy is it was 800 days on the dot.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't realize it was going to be 800 days until.
Around the world in 800 days?
Yeah. We booked that last flight.
Did you plan that?
Not at all. I booked the last flight from
Auckland.
That's
your new book.
Auckland.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It as I booked it, I just did because we got these different apps that we use, and one of the apps I just put in the time. I said, well, how long is it from February 21st, 2017 to May 2nd, 2019? Mm-hmm. And it popped up 800 days, and I just thought that was amazing.
That is cool.
But yeah, so that was the journey. 35 countries around the world in those 27 months. But prior to that, and it was a single backpack a piece, and we logistically, obviously, a ton of flights, but a lot of buses and tuk-tuks and motor scooters and every form of transportation. And we did it. We had a budget, right? Mm-hmm. So we saved the money. We had a budget. We needed to make it last. We did a lot of creative things for accommodations. We volunteered several times. We lived with a lot of people in their homes as a host. And then we also leveraged.
Cat sit, dog sit?
Yeah, cat sit and dog sit a couple of times.
Can I cat or dog sit?
Yeah.
Live in your house while you're gone?
Yeah. We live in an amazing time where there's all kinds of different apps out there that if you can build a profile, you can do a lot of things creatively to help people. And we did that.
Yeah. Now, Matt, you mentioned two words, career gap.
Yeah.
And those words are scary to most people.
Absolutely.
Most people, a career gap means downsized or, you know, losing a job or whatever, but your career gap was voluntary.
Yeah, we chose to do it. And I come from a world where big business sales, if you will, you work really hard to build a portfolio. You work those client relationships. They mean a lot. And so there was a lot of risk involved with my career to walk away from something that I worked so hard to do.
Especially in sales, you really, I mean, it takes a while to get that rolling. And then once you do, you just kind of keep it rolling, you know?
Yeah.
So to do that, so how'd you have the courage to do that? What really prompted you? I mean, how'd you do that? How'd you get over that fear?
Because I talked about the 5 years that were successful, but the 4 years prior to that, it was a lot of difficulty to get to that level.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. Anyone in sales, it takes, you know, like, I want to say like 5 years.
It does. It's
maybe
it's
longer.
It's hard. I love sales professionals because everything that goes into it. But I think it was a lot of faith in myself, faith in my wife, our love and commitment to each other in our marriage, and then faith with the powers above. I just knew that we have skills in the market. I think that goes a long way. And so that was my encouraging thing to her is, yeah, we're risking a lot, but we're also risking a lot by not doing this. What could we gain from that exposure for 2 years on the road and all the people and relationships that we could form and our knowledge that could come from that we could share in the future. So we had a lot of those conversations because even though you asked about what went into that, about 10 months, there was a spark. I'm real big on signs in my life. And there was a sign in our Cape Town, South Africa trip that really spoke to my soul. And we had a conversation like, we got to do this.
That was on one of your vacations or business trip, right?
Yeah. So that was March of 2016.
So what happened?
Long story
I'm
short,
curious.
Yeah, we
you
met a couple.
You brought, you opened that door.
Yeah.
I'm making you walk through it.
I'll tell it briefly, but we essentially, there was another, there was a gentleman out of the Netherlands that won the same award that he was in his early 30s that was there on the success trip.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 years prior to that, he and his girlfriend did similar. They took 2 years off and traveled. They had a car. Their trip is amazing. They basically packed up a Subaru type car, mm-hmm. put a mattress in the back, drove from the Netherlands all the way through Asia, then shipped the car from Asia to Vancouver, then drove from Vancouver to Patagonia. Nuts. So we talked to this couple for a few hours over drinks in Cape Town. And as I was leaving, we were very inspired. And as we were getting, we walked back with the most senior salesperson in our company, and we're walking back, and I'm friends with his wife, and Nikki's friends with his wife as well. And he's like, why don't you guys do something like that? I mean, this is my most senior person in my company saying, Matt, you should do something like this. And we got back because we'd already been dreaming about it at that time. And for
so
us,
so you meet someone that's doing it,
yes.
And then someone, an executive in your company, says, hey, why don't you do that?
Yes.
And you're probably thinking, yeah,
I've been dreaming it already. And so we get back to the room, and I tell Nikki, I said, what other signs do we need?
Yeah, does God need to do lightning or something for us?
Like, these are the things in life that I think that are very, they push you to decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point I said, okay, but we're at this point, we're still 10 months away, 10, 11 months away from actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But in April, I booked our first one way from Indianapolis to Santiago, Chile. And it's still on paper, but it doesn't mean anything. In June, I booked our next flight from Ecuador to Lisbon, Portugal.
Okay.
And then in August, I booked our flight from Rome to India. Because those are all at a high level, because people ask about the logistics on how'd you plan all this. We always knew we wanted to follow the sun, mm-hmm. because it helps with the backpack to only pack warmer clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're also very much beachy, warm weather people.
Mm-hmm.
So I always kind of knew our path.
Mm-hmm.
And logistically, that's what I do as a sales professional. I do coffees. I find a way to meet you in your office, then I go to a lunch, and then I'm going to find coffee. So my whole day is filled with how do I get from A to B,
uh-huh.
throughout the whole day, and then have a dinner and all these different things. So I could, logistically, I'm really good at that aspect as well. So I knew that what our map would look like, in a way, it did alter a little bit, but we knew what we wanted to do. So as we planned those out, those different legs,
mm-hmm.
August, once I planned India, was the point where we both kind of looked at each other like, we're really going to do
gonna
this.
Happen.
We're
yeah.
doing this, aren't we? And at that point, we started to get the finances, getting the house in order, understanding how it is that we were going to leave.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about all the cool faith things that that Matt saw on his journey. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, as well as our guest, Matt Javitt. Passport Joy is your, your blog, right? And you're an author, too, and world traveler. And I want to ask you about, first of all, you uploaded the Mass readings, didn't you, before you traveled?
Yes.
So talk about that. Why'd you do that? And I want to talk about some of the places you went to Mass, too.
Absolutely. So because we had the opportunity to travel before the big trip,
there
was two factors there. First is I knew that I could travel with my wife on
That's
a long...
That's super cool.
Because we met a lot of travelers on the road,
mm-hmm.
That were couples.
Mm-hmm.
That you could tell they were like 6 days into their vacation and they were ready to go home already based on spending that much time together, because... as a non-retired couple, because based on our age, most people don't have the opportunity to spend this much time with their spouse at this stage in the game.
Yeah.
But we knew we were good travelers together. Mm-hmm. We knew that we could do this. So we went,
and you get along, obviously.
We get along, we vibe, we know when to give each other a little bit of space, mm-hmm. and that's a big part of it. But the faith-based aspect of it is, when we would go on these trips prior to the big journey, mm-hmm. We would always make sure that we go to Mass and get a chance to see the cathedrals and churches in these places. And part of that is, we knew that sometimes we would not get, it would not be in English. There would mm-hmm. not be an English-based Mass there. Mm-hmm. So before the journey,
it'd be in the vernacular, whichever the vernacular is. Yeah. You know, we're not all, you know, doing it in Latin anymore, you
absolutely.
Know?
So when we're in Brazil, it was in Portuguese. So we knew that there would be, we'd have to see it in English in order to get to understand part of the experience. So we can go on Amazon and download these different apps on your Kindle. So all the Mass readings would be in English, even though they're spoken in a foreign language, we can still follow along. That's the coolest thing about the Catholic faith is the traditions are such that no matter where you are, it's going to be in a certain order. We could understand the homilies, but sometimes just being around the people and kind of having the message spoken through you, mm-hmm. that you still walk out of Mass feeling something, and mm-hmm. and then even maybe have we had many opportunities to then meet people as we walked out, because people would say, where are you here from, and they'd want to talk to us, and maybe we had a chance to go then drink wine and share cheese with people and have those experiences right after church. So
I gotta ask you, where was the coolest place you went to Mass?
Well,
35 countries, or I don't know how many countries you said you've been into, but
35 countries, Mass many, many times in that journey. There's a few that stood out. One that there was something about this priest when we were in the Galapagos Islands. We were in St. Francis Assisi, the Lover of the Animals Church.
Oh, yeah.
And there was something about that priest that really spoke to me. And I can't even tell you what the message was, but I can remember leaving that church thinking, these people are so lucky to have this priest lead them, because just how he
was really devout.
It was just amazing. It's just, he spoke as a tourist. I'm sure that there were so many tourists that come to that church, mm-hmm. based on being in the Galapagos Islands, but it was very great. But then a ceremony, there was really two that stuck out. We fell in love with Lisbon, Portugal. St. Anthony is my favorite saint. That's where he was born. So every June, they have a huge celebration for St. Anthony's. And Lisbon is just a gorgeous, romantic city. It's very hilly. Mm-hmm. All the houses are close, the cobblestone roads, and they have a lot to do there. And the celebrations go deep into the night. And it's just amazing to be a part of that, because not only we know St. Anthony for pray to him if you lose something, mm-hmm. but they're real big on marriages there. So there's like a lot of marriages that are based on praying to St. Anthony to bring me love. Mm. There's all these different aspects of St. Anthony we don't know. Sardines are big, because apparently he was so well spoken that he would go to a local pond or the ocean, and the fish would come to the sea to listen to St. Anthony speak. So sardines are a big part of the celebrations there. So we fell in love. We actually went to Lisbon both Junes of our journey to be a part of that celebration. We found many friends that are Portuguese. So that stuck out as far as the Catholic faith of things that were amazing. And then we took this incredible journey when we were in Kerala, India, where St. Thomas Malathar is. As the disciples, most of them went west after Jesus' death, St. Thomas went east to India. And he ended up down in about 50 AD in the southern part of India, in Kerala, India. And
yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he went. He was kind of chased by the locals there into these hills, into the Malathar area. And there was there's this beautiful hill that we had to climb up, but it was all trees and roots and muddy, and it rained that day. And we both looked at each other, because it's a very, very long walk, and it's typically a pilgrimage for them during the Easter time. So we had to walk up this crazy mud, and Nikki and I kind of looked at each other like, are we going to keep doing this? Or are we going to keep going? But we did. And we got to the top. There was this the loudest thunder we've ever heard in our life, and it was kind of like God was applauding our efforts. And up there, they still have St. Thomas's feet in the feet in the ground, and it's a big deal in India. For this. So for us to be able to do that and talk to the locals, then they said, Americans never come see this. We knew it was a unique opportunity for us. So there's different things that stuck out to us as far as the Catholic faith on the journey that are highlights like that.
So we were talking about Christmas before we got started Christmas shopping, and I want you to talk about this book that you have. We're talking with Matt Javitt, World Traveler, and he took a bunch of pictures on all of their journeys, right? And absolutely. What are these? Tell us about it. Yeah.
So as I described, I'm not in law enforcement, nor am I a photographer by profession. But because we were in all these unique places, we would take a ton of photos. Mm-hmm. And early on in our first city we were in, Santiago, Chile, I came across, just taking a bunch of photos, and I came across two officers. One policewoman was on a horse. Another gentleman was his canine. I took the photos like it was nothing else. And about a week later, we were in Valparaiso, Chile, and I was out getting coffee, just walking the streets in this back road. And I passed an officer, and I just asked him if I could take his photo as well. He agreed. And then after I looked at the photo on my phone, it was gorgeous because there were so many colors and just like the back alley of it. I went back and showed Nikki, and I just said, I'm going to just keep doing this. If I had the opportunity to see police officers, I'm going to take a photo because I think there's something here. Mm-hmm. So we just kept doing that. And then over the journey, over the 2 years, I had over 80 photos of these different police officers in very amazing locations, like in front of the Taj Mahal, in front of St. Peter's in the Vatican City, these great locations. And I decided to put together a book. And part of that process of self-publishing the book, I had a chance to talk to some really great chiefs of police around our country. But I also talked to a police psychiatrist that handles police with PTSD when it comes to the trauma. And she was very encouraging of the idea of, Matt, you should really create this book because it could have a good impact for these men and women in blue. So I did. I self-published the book, and it's gotten really good reviews. I was featured on Fox News in September.
Yeah, Fox and Friends. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really a great experience, and it's gotten the word out a bit, and the feedback has been positive from the police force. So you can get it at policearoundtheworld.com. That's the website that's set up. And there's even a gifting option if you wanted to purchase a book for a random police officer in the country.
That's really cool. Now, you guys have Passport Joy. Was that the blog? So talk about you blogged during your travels too. And then you also did a bunch of got your hair cut in all these different places too, right?
Yeah. So that's the unique part of us. We were both very type A-ish people. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is some of the things you find out about the humankind is you want to give back value. You always want to give back. Like we're not just sitting by the beach hanging out. You want to give back to humankind in some way. So we did the blog to walk through our journey, because I feel like this career gap is going to become more and more common, especially with this next generation. They love experiences. They love travel. So I figured that this would be something we want to put down, and it helps us remember it as well. And then we also started the podcast about a year into the journey, and Passport Joy. So passportjoy.com is it's kind of the holder of all that information.
Okay.
And then Passport Joy Travel Talk is our blog where we talked about from locations around the world. You guys do a blog. So we were doing this in different cities around the world, finding cafes, sometimes doing it in airport lobbies, in our little hostel or place that we were staying in, record it, upload it, and get it in the air. And then we started the World Barbershop Adventures that's now on Amazon Prime, which shows me in barber chairs around the world, because that was something that we just felt like
you have a my beard, buddies. So you had to get trimmed, right?
Yeah. And I was getting all these cool experiences, and I was like, my buddies probably want to see this stuff. So we started videoing that, and that's all these fun little side projects kept us busy, kept us really in the moment. Because that was one of the hardest part, was to be in, when you got a really cool trip a week away, but you're in a really cool place, being present and in the moment all the time wasn't as easy as you might think, because you're in Cambodia experiencing all these great things, but Bali's next. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God, I'm going to Bali. Mm-hmm. So those things really helped us be present and remember it and put it audibly on a podcast. We can always go back and listen to those trips and remember those stories. And then the visual aspect of the YouTube series. So it really was something totally different. I've got a newfound respect for the creative world, because that stuff is not easy. Coming from the professional world into the creative world has been quite the transition. But yeah, that was just our way of kind of giving back a little bit.
And you did give back, because you visited some orphanages too. Yeah. and you played basketball, or taught them how to play basketball, or since you got to do a little bit of everything, right?
Absolutely. Do you want me to tell us?
Yeah, go ahead. We only got about 3 minutes, but it's got to be really quick, and then we got to get your contact info again.
Absolutely. So the high level of the story is in our visit to Kerala, India, we visited a Don Bosco orphanage near Fort Kochi. And these kids, 55 kids, teenagers, boys that live with very minimal. In India in general, they live with not much, but in this orphanage, they don't have much at all. So we came and we brought school equipment, toiletries and things like that, but we also brought sporting equipment. soccer balls, basketballs, cricket gear. And part of that, when we pulled in with our rental car, I had all this stuff packed in the back seat in the trunk, and the priest came out and invited us, and there was nobody out there, and they had this awesome soccer field and a basketball field. And as I saw the priest, I said, "Hey, do you mind if I throw these balls out into the field so the kids can see it?" So I just started chucking all these balls, and these kids came out of every corner, and they got the equipment and just started playing like crazy. And I had a chance to work with them and show them some drills and actually play with them as well. But the craziest part was not one of them had shoes on.
Yeah.
55 kids, no shoes, and they're running around like crazy, and it didn't even affect them.
I know. Isn't that wild?
It's
we're
crazy.
So crazy. We couldn't even consider playing anything without shoes, yeah. You know?
And they didn't do it by, they didn't have the choice is what's thing, but they still were happy.
Well, next trip, right? You send them some shoes,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
That's, you're going to bring some shoes next time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Okay. So tell people where they can get connected to you or get a copy of the book or podcast, webpage, all of it.
Absolutely. So the easiest place to see all the content is passportjoy.com. And that has the links to everything there. If you just want to go directly for the book, policearoundtheworld.com. And then the World Barbershop Adventures is on Amazon Prime. And that's where you can see me in barber chairs. And we're going to continue to roll out new seasons of that.
So what's it been like for your faith? What kind of an impact did this whole thing have on your faith?
It impacted in many ways. Humans are amazing. The kindness and love you see around the world is so different than what you might read on the media. And it's a much safer place out there than you might realize. And that's the one thing I would say is, and that's why I'm trying to be so encouraging of people to travel,
mm-hmm,
and not necessarily go to the resorts when you travel, try to get outside the resort a little bit and meet people, because you'll be very encouraged about how kind humans are everywhere.
So one more time, if you could give all your contact info, so if people want to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So I'm basically the only Matt Javitt in the world. So if you look up Matt Javitt, you'll find me. But the travel information is passportjoy.com is the easiest place to find us.
Matt Javitt, you've been a very interesting guest. I can't wait to check out the barber thing and the book and everything. It's just really exciting. So you've really inspired me. So maybe, Jim, maybe we'll get out of Dodge here sometime and go on a trip, right?
Maybe. Who knows?
Thanks for being our guest, Matt.
Thank you.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.